Hallelujah. As always, it's a privilege to share the word of God. And this morning, I want to share something about time. Understanding and managing time. Hallelujah. And so we want to understand the rationale behind that. Let me just start with a couple of quotes on time. I went to brainyquote.com and some famous people have said some things about time. There's a guy called William Penn. Anybody knows William Penn? Obviously, he did something with Pennsylvania. Some famous guy, right? He said, time is what we want most, but what we use worst. So profound. Bill King said, yesterday is the past, tomorrow is the future. But today is a gift. That's why it's called the present. Think about that. Jim Rohn said, either you run the day or the day runs you. This is an author who's unknown. The greatest gift you can give someone is your time. Because when you give your time, you are giving a portion of your life that you will never get back. That's profound. This is what Steve Jobs said. Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your own inner heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary. Steve Jobs. He's talking about inner heart. Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. Once you lose it, you can never get it back. Have a marquee. This is what, anybody remembers Bruce Lee? Yeah. The martial when we were kids. This is what Bruce Lee said. If you love life, don't waste time. Because time is what life is made of. Bruce Lee. The bad news is time flies. The good news is you are the pilot. So profound. The way we spend our time defines who we are. So if you go to brainyquote.com/time, there are so many profound quotes, hundreds. And some of them are very, very meaningful. Today is 31st January 2016. 31st January 2016. It's never coming back again. And already, that tells me that by midnight today, 1 month of 2016 will be gone. You know, it sounds like Christmas was just a couple of weeks ago, right? But we have spent 31 days of 2016. What did we do with that? So God has graciously given us 2016, another year. What does He want us to do with this year? What does He want us to do with this month, which is ending? What does He want us to do with this week, this day, and this hour? Let me make some couple of statements. The most common gift God gave man, all of us, in spite of our differences, is time. So we might all come from different backgrounds. We may have different experiences, different occupations, different, so many differences. But the 7.2 billion people in the world, God has given each one 24 hours a day. So what do we say? Time is a commonality among the human species. And so what you are and what you become depends on how you use your time. You and I have the same amount of time, 24 hours a day. The billionaire has 24 hours. The beggar has 24 hours. The black has 24 hours a day. The white, the male, the female. Everybody has 24 hours a day. And let me say a couple of things. Time cannot be created nor destroyed. Time cannot be created nor destroyed. You cannot stop time. It keeps coming. Time cannot be stopped, but it can be controlled. And although time is unstoppable but controllable, you and I can control how time can be used. Therefore, what you do with time, more or less, defines and regulates your life. And so as we start a new year, see, the fact that we say a new suggests that there was an old. So a new year provides us with opportunities to reassess God's purpose for our life. It's an opportunity for us to redefine our priorities. It's an opportunity for us to redefine our goals. In fact, if we read the book of Exodus, the very day the children of Israel came out of Egypt, God told them, "This day shall be for you the beginning of years." In other words, God gave them a calendar that for the Jewish nation, their time is defined by the day they came out of Egypt. Their history, their life as a nation was defined by the day they came out of Egypt. Right? The United States defines their history by the year of independence. What is it? History. History is 1776. So this year will be how many years? 240 years of U.S. being in existence. Time. So what are we saying? Time defines or even qualifies life. So it's an opportunity for us to define priorities, our purpose, our vision, to reestablish our goals. Time is life and life is time. Think about it. You know, our life is defined by how much time you have spent on earth, right? So if you say, okay, the guy was what? 80 years. Now, this is what struck me. If you are 60 years and you sleep on the average 8 hours a day, that means you've slept 20 years of your life. Have you thought about that? I never thought about that. I also said, Now, first of all, let's talk about the premise for time. Why is it that God emphasizes time and wants us to also be very conscious about time? Go with me first to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5, the writer is teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ as the high priest. And he uses a reference from the Old Testament, Melchizedek. You remember Melchizedek? The Bible says he was a priest of the Most High God. Melchizedek didn't have any origins. So in the Hebrews, the writer is comparing Aaron, who was the first high priest of the nation Israel, with Jesus. But it was difficult for the children of the Hebrews to understand. So in verse 11, he says, in verse 10, he says, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So that was the context. But he said, of whom we have many things to say and had to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And have become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the writer is telling the Hebrews, at the time that you ought to have been teachers, you are still babies in the Lord. Now remember, in Genesis chapter 12, God called Abraham and said, I will make of you a great nation, and you shall be a blessing. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So God chose the nation Israel as a model for the nations of the world. God always uses a model. And so the writer is saying that you were the first nation God chose. And the way God dealt with you was such that he will empower you with the knowledge, equip you with understanding, so you can teach other nations. But at the time that you ought to have been teachers, you have need that one teach you again. They didn't make productive use of time. You know the story. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. So this is an indictment on the nation of Israel in terms of their unproductive use of time. The Bible says, he says, at the time you ought, not you should or could or may. Ought is a very strong word. In other words, God expected them to have been teachers at this point in time. But he said, no, they have need that one teach them again. Students. And it's not only the fact that, you know, they were still students. They had to be taught the first principles of the oracles of God and have become such as need of milk. Babies in the Lord. So the premise for understanding time and managing time is predicated on the reality that time enables us to accomplish God's purpose for our lives. What is time? The dictionary defines time as a duration in which things happen. But we have to define time from God's perspective. Time is an interruption from eternity, somebody said. Time is a piece of eternity. Time is the limited period during which an action exists. Now let's understand this. God created time. Go with me to Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis chapter 1, from verses 14, It says, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for light in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. In the Amplified Version, it says, God said, let there be light bearers, the sun, the moon, and the stars, in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be useful for signs of God's providential care for marking, M-A-R-K-I-N-G, marking seasons, days, and years. So God created time. Now remember, God does not live in time. God lives in eternity. But he created time for you and I to live in. So the purpose of time is to take man out of eternity and establish him in time. Take man out of eternity into time. Number two, the purpose of time. God created time to protect us from, somebody said, forever. Now, we've heard statements like, time heals, right? So time becomes a mechanism for us to endure or go through change. Now, think about it. If you are in pain, know that time means the pain will some way somehow stop. Right? If you make a mistake, it's only temporal because you live in time. So God created time to define life. God created time so we can measure the quality and quantity of our life, to account for our life, to protect us from forever, somebody said. Scientists have confirmed that, you see, they look at the fact that every year the earth revolves around the sun once. Am I right? And then every month the moon revolves around the earth. With precision. Now, who created this? Obviously, God. God uses time to measure the purpose of life. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, that's a very famous passage of scripture about time. It says, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, let me find it and read it. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time to war and a time of peace. What profit had he that worketh in that which he labored? I have seen the travail which God had given to the sons of men to be exercised. In fact, in the NIV version, it says, God has set eternity in the heart of man. in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning. So Ecclesiastes is teaching us that there's a time for everything. God created time so time will regulate the different things that we have to do. He said to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. What is a season? A season is a period in time in which some unique occurrences feature prominently. So we know that every winter there is snow, right? We will be surprised if we get snow in summer. And we will be surprised if we get snow, you know, in summer. We'll be surprised if we get the leaves start falling in different seasons. So to everything, there is a season. That is why the Bible says, when the fullness of time came, God sent Jesus, Galatians. God wants us to be in sync with him. Now, there are times we go ahead of God, right? There are times we lag behind. But it is important for us to be in sync with God because the Bible says to everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. You know, even in Jesus' ministry, there were times he was being rushed to do some things. You know, remember in the Gospel of John, in the wedding at Cana in Galilee, his own earthly mother said, "No, go work a miracle." And what did Jesus say? "My time has not come." So, some of the timely principles of hap is the fact that to everything, there is a season. So even though God created time, he does not live in time. He has established that you and I will live in time. So time is important, but in spite of the benefits of time enabling us to pursue God's assignment, divine assignment, purpose for our life, time also has its own limitations. Look with me at Job chapter 14. Job chapter 14, verses 1 to 2. I'll start from verse 1. Job 14, 1 to 2. Job said, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble." Oh, gloomy Job. "He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And thou that open thine eyes upon such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee." Verse 5. "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." Think about it. This is God saying, seeing, verse 5, "seeing his days are determined and the number of his months are with thee, that thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day." So the Bible is teaching us that your life has been determined by God. So you are not going to live beyond what God has determined. And you are not going to die prematurely, regardless. Because the scriptures is teaching us that his days, man's days, are determined. The number of his months are with God. Thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. In fact, in us, the Bible says, God has determined the bounds of our habitation. In other words, God has even predetermined where you will be born. Your geography and your history. The family you will be born to. But God's going to say, till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. So God has hired you and I to accomplish his purpose. And he has given us a set time. Remember, life is defined by when you are born and when you die. In fact, when you die, it's because time has stopped on your life. Because the day you are born, the clock starts ticking. The day you die, time has stopped on your life, and then you go back into eternity. So Job is teaching us that seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, God. God has appointed his bounds that he cannot pass. But more importantly, turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. So we are in the employment of God as a hireling. God has hired you to do some things on earth that only you can do. And that is one of the limitations of time. That between your birth and your death, God has given you enough time to accomplish what he has called you to do. So you have to do it here before you leave. And so it's not how many years or centuries you live, but whether or not you are able to accomplish what God called you to do within the boundaries he set for you. I mean, think about it. Methuselah is the oldest guy, right? But we only see him mentioned in the genealogy. But Jesus lived 33 years. But his life defines time, BC and AD. So it's not how long you live. It's whether or not you are able to accomplish what God has called you to do within the boundaries he has set for you. That is why it's so important for us to be very sensitive about time. Go with me to Psalm 90. This is one of the very few psalms that Moses ever wrote. Psalm 90. From verses 1, let me say, the whole Psalm 190 is about, you know, the generations, God, and the generations of the children. But let me look at a couple of verses. Verse 4, for 1,000 years is in thy sight as but as yesterday, and when it is past, as a watch in the night. Verse 9, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet they are strength of labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Then Moses goes on to say in verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, sometimes it's not only important to understand what is said, but who said what is said. This is one of the few psalms by Moses. Now, you may remember that Moses himself, he probably is doing a retrospective analysis. He's looking back at his own life. The first 40 years of his life, he spent as an Egyptian prince. We read this in Acts. The second 40 years of his life, he lived in the wilderness. So it was at the end of the second 40 years that God appeared to him in the wilderness and said, Moses, come, I have a divine assignment for you. And then Moses assumes the leadership of taking the children of Israel out of Egypt. And the children of Israel wander in the wilderness for 40 years under his leadership, so because they couldn't, or they were disobedient. So Moses, in conducting the retrospective analysis, says, God, compared to eternity, our life is like a tale that is told. He said, so Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Now remember, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says concerning the children of Israel, they ate the same spiritual food. They drank the same spiritual milk. They experienced the many, many miracles. But the Bible says, but with many of them, God was not pleased. And they were overthrown in the wilderness. That's what we read about. They didn't make very productive use of their time, and they couldn't enter the promised land. In fact, Moses himself, didn't even enter the promised land. So Moses had an experience in which a whole generation wandered aimlessly in the desert for 40 years. I don't think they had a good sense of time. And we have already said that, time can be invested productively because you cannot create nor destroy. The only choices you have is to invest it, squander it, spend it, or waste it, misuse it, or abuse it, or use it. And you have to take control of your time so people do not make a mess of your time. Psalm 39, verse 4 to 5, it says, Lord, make me to know mine end. This is David. See, David must have read Moses. Right? And so David says in Psalm 39, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a hand breadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. David said to the Lord, Lord, let me know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. I'm not surprised that David accomplished many, many, many things for the nation of Israel. He was the greatest king. And I believe his greatness could be traced to the fact that he appreciated time and made productive use of the time. But also because he probably read about Moses. Right? Let me say a couple things about time, then we go into the New Testament. Time separates your past from your present and your future. Think about it. 31st night, Times Square. Every December 31st, people go to Times Square, sometimes days before, just to see the ball drop. And this year we were watching it. As soon as the ball dropped, 15 minutes, Times Square was deserted. Everybody was gone. I mean, the question then becomes, why is 31st December 1159 so important? Because it separates the past from the present and the future. Because people want to remember where they were when we made the transition from one year to the other. It's significant to us. So time separates our past from our present and our future. Time measures life in seasons. Time measures life in seasons. Time is the only commodity on earth where everyone has the same amount. God gave us equal time. Time is used to buy life. So time is a currency for all of us. Time is so powerful that whatever you invest your life in, it comes back to you. Time gives you time to change relationships. You can have your time stolen. Time can be invested or divested or wasted. Time can be abused. Time can be squandered. Time is more important than money. Time can also be depreciated. In other words, its value can decline. Time can be devalued with the things who we are. Time can be revalued by adjusting our relationships. There are some people who can steal your time. And you have to get rid of them. Because if life is measured by time, and you want to make productive use of your time, then you can't waste it. And so we have to learn, you know, to move away from those who do not add value to our life, but they take away from our life. You see, sometimes I'm walking on campus and students see me and they want to tell me all their problems. I say, okay, come and see me office hours. Because office hours has been designated for you to have one-on-one with the teacher. So don't stop me in the hallway and begin to tell me all about your family and your girlfriend and your problems and your dog. I don't have time for that. There's a time in which you can come and see me. You can never stop time. You can never destroy time. Who you are and what you are depends on how you use your time. Let's go to last scripture in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14 to 21. Wherefore he said, awake, thou sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Then in Colossians chapter 4, 1 to 5, Paul repeats, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in bonds. Verse 4. That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. Twice, Ephesians and Colossians, Paul tells the church to redeem the time. Now, Paul himself We know his life. He spent a great amount of his life when he acknowledges that he didn't understand the things of God, or he understood them wrongly. So when he became an apostle, he doubled up on his time and established the churches and wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. He redeemed his time. To redeem means to buy back. In fact, the word deem means to buy or to own. So redeeming time means buying back the time. It means it's possible that in our lives, we have wasted times. Some things have gone on in our life that were total waste. We made unproductive use of time. And so Paul is saying that we should redeem the time. In other words, we should go back and figure out what we can do to double up. You know, because if you know you are late to certain things, remember, God has given you your birth, your death. And if you know you are late, God has given us 70, 80 years. If you are lucky, 1900, right? If you know you haven't accomplished God's divine assignment and your clock is getting to 70, 80, you double up, right? And you become maybe twice, three times productive so you can accomplish what God has called you to do. Because at the end of the day, it's not how long you have lived on earth. It's whether or not you accomplish God's divine assignment for you within the time frame that God allotted for you. That is why time is so important. Redeeming the time also means taking ownership of the time. One of the quotes said, "The bad news is that time flies. The good news is that you are the pilot." You have to take control of your life or to possess time so you can make good use of that. So it's possible Paul seems to be alluding to his life, you know, that redeeming the time means you have to work a little harder to recontrol or repossess your time. Or in other words, to pay back the debt you owe God. To convert opportunities into productive ventures. Moses prayed and said, "Lord, teach us to number our days." I'm glad he didn't say number our years. Because your year consists of days. And we have to make progress by the day. Every day, 24 hours. In fact, growing up as a believer, I know some people were so, I wouldn't want to say they were so fanatical, but they were real that they would tithe their time. Do you understand what I'm saying? In other words, they believed in the principle of tithing so much that they felt that it wasn't only money. And that time was also a gift of God. So the very least they could give God every day was 2 hours, 40 cents, 40 minutes. In other words, 1/10 of the 24 hours. Which means we may have to adjust our lifestyle. Because if you are 60 and you sleep an average of 8 hours, 20 of your life has been sleeping. It doesn't mean you can't accomplish your divine assignment, but it means, you know, you may have to do a little bit much more to accomplish your divine assignment. So let me talk about the keys for redeeming your time. You always have to have a plan. Believe me, I always carry a notebook about the things that I have to do because I forget all the time. So I write things down. You have to have a plan. And you have to establish your priorities. What are some of the things God has put in your heart to do this year? Write them down. How are you going to do it? Maybe there are some people you have to call. Maybe there's some research you have to do. You have to document, you know, the goals and objectives God has called you to do. And sometimes, you know, we may be pursuing things that may not be priorities. I always tell my students, if you know tomorrow you have an exam and you are watching Seinfeld tonight and you come to class sleeping, it doesn't help me. It's not wise use of your time. Or you know you have an exam tomorrow and then tonight you go to the club with your friends. It's not productive use of your time. So you have to establish your priorities. You have to make decisions based on your divine destiny. Review your investments of time. God is convicting me about that. The number of hours I spend listening to CNN. Sometimes I listen to the same news over and over again. It's a waste. Do not try to please everyone. Jesus said, I live to please my Father. Paul said, if I please men, I will never be a servant of Christ. You have to sit down and design your year. Anything that you do this year should be connected to God's divine assignment for your life. That's why the Bible says, when the fullness of time came, God sent Jesus. God moves with time. He regulates his own time. And you and I, if we are going to be imitators of God, should also make productive use of our time. We should redeem the time because the days are evil, Scripture says. Hallelujah. God bless you.